the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, last Sunday, we did Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus is our Good Shepherd. He lays down His life for us. He takes care of us. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So, if Jesus is our Good Shepherd, then that should mean nothing bad should ever happen to us, right? Wouldn't you think so? If Jesus is our Good Shepherd, then we should always have green pastures, still waters. Well, eventually that will be true. But right now, that is not entirely the case. And that's basically what our scripture readings are doing this morning, is reminding you and I, and they're teaching it very clearly, that we will still have sorrows. There's no getting around it in this world. Okay? Every one of us, no matter who we are, will have sorrow. I'm going to give you a little list, but you know all of this already. I mean, it's sad living in a world that is full of sin and death. Our sin is sad. It is sad when you and I have hurt people, especially people we love, with our own greediness and selfishness and our own arrogance and pride. It makes us sad. It's sad when we can't get along with other people. I mean, everybody knows if we could all just get along, right? But we can't. We don't. And it's sad. It's sad when we don't love people the way we should love people, and they don't love us the way they should. The anger and the hatred in the world is sad. And of course, we all know death is sad. I mean, we've got all Doris's family here today. They know the sorrow of losing someone. Sickness is sad. To see people suffering is sad. And as Christians, it's sad when people we love, they won't come to church, or they say they don't believe in Christ, or it's sad when we see people making really bad decisions that are ruining their lives. There's just sadness all around us. So there's no getting around us. So now, if we can say, okay, yes, we understand, there is going to be sorrow now, then you can hear there's three things that our scripture readings tell us this morning about sorrow, and they're all important. The first thing Jesus wants you to know about the sorrow you will go through is that it's only for a little while. And those are His words, right? You heard them over and over and again in the gospel reading. A little while. Sorrow is never permanent. It's temporary, okay? And it's not long. It's not a long temporary. It's only a little while, Jesus says. So, what He compares it to, and this is the illustration you want to think of because it's what He uses. He says, it is like a woman in labor. Now, nobody would doubt that she has sorrow. Okay? And her sorrow is great, and it's a serious sorrow. Because here the life of mom and the life of baby are hanging in the balance. And yet this is what Jesus says. When she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into this world. Now, how many of you moms out here who have been through labor think every day of your life about that labor and the anguish and the sorrow and the pain? You might think about it occasionally, maybe on a birthday or something like this, but you don't remember this all the time. Because why? Because the joy of a new baby brought into the world quickly overcomes the sorrow. And that is what Jesus is telling you as Christians to consider. You are having sorrow right now, but the joy that He gives us in the fact that we've been born again, that we have new life in Christ, the fact that there is paradise awaiting us, glory awaiting us, all of this joy far, far, far overcomes the anguish and the sorrow that we face now. And in fact, you know, this is really our experience every Sunday we come to church, because every week we've had real sorrows, you know, and we bring them here. We're sad over things that happened this week. We're sad over certain of our sins, thoughts we've had, words we've said, deeds we've done. You know, and we're sad about things going on around us, in our families, in the world, people that don't know Christ, people that are full of darkness. So we come with all this sorrow every week, and we ask for forgiveness. We pray for the world. We pray for ourselves. We say, Lord, have mercy. And then what? Here comes this new birth again, the joy. Christ comes and He says, I'll take your sins. Those I'll forgive. I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, you're right with the Father because I've died for you and risen for you. And all your sorrows, He says, I'll bear those with you. Cast all your cares on me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. He gives us all this joy to overcome the sorrow. So this is the first point that Jesus has for you about your sorrow. It's only for a little while. And the joy He gives always will overcome it. Now, a second thing about sorrow. In our reading from Isaiah, specifically, God has something to say when you think that God doesn't care about the sorrows you're going through, or when you think that He's, you know, not paying attention or forgotten about you. Because that's what Isaiah says in verse 27 there. He says, the people were saying to God, my way is hidden from the Lord. He's not seeing. He's not caring. And my right is disregarded by my God. He's not giving me what I should have. And here's what God says about that. When you and I think that He's not paying attention to us, not caring, not giving us what we should rightly have. Now, these are in my words now, but this is what Isaiah in Isaiah says. God's words to us is, stop comparing me to you. Stop comparing me to yourself. Stop thinking that you always know what God should do. Now, that may sound harsh to you, but there's a lot of comfort in this. To whom will you compare me, God says. Really, who are you going to compare God to? Is there anybody that you can say, well, God is like so-and-so? We can't do that. There's no comparison for God. He tells us, look up at the stars and ask yourself, who made those? You know, did you? The Lord is the everlasting God. He says, creator of all. And He never, ever grows tired or weary. Now, you do, and I do. But He says, stop comparing me to yourself. I'm not going to forget you. I'm not going to stop paying attention. I never grow tired or weary. So here we stand saying, why doesn't God do this? Why does God do that? How can He allow me to go through this? Doesn't He care? And here's what He says. You all know these verses from Isaiah. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, hold on, though, because before you start, you know, flying through the air with eagles here, who does God say will mount up with wings like eagles? He says those who are faint, those who have no might, and those who wait for the Lord. See, it's exactly when we are weak and faint and weary that we finally stop trying to figure it out ourselves and wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord, right? That's the one who will renew their strength and mount up with wings like eagles, the one that waits for the Lord. There will be waiting. So think about some of the promises God has made to you. He has said, I will work all things for your good. That's true. He will. In His own time, right? Not right now when you want it. In His own time. Or God has promised that all of your sorrows will certainly come to an end. In His own time. We wait for the Lord. Or God has also promised that our sorrows will be turned to laughter and joy. And they will. In His time. Wait for the Lord. So we wait. All we have, everything that we need in Christ our Savior. So we wait. We pray and we wait. We come to church and we wait. We confess our sins and we wait. We work and we wait. And in due time, we know he will renew us. So this is your second point to remember about sorrow. That if you think God isn't paying attention, that if you think, you know, that God doesn't care, then stop comparing him to yourself. He never grows weary of you. He never stops paying attention to you. And he always works in his time. So we wait for him. Finally then, in the second reading today from 1 Peter, there's one more point about our sorrow. Peter has something to say to you about how you should live when you're going through sorrow. And we have this tendency. We'd like to think that if anything bad happens to me, then it gives me the right to kind of act like a baby, act like a toddler. You know, if something's not going my way, then I have a right to lash out, to get angry about it, to demand that everybody, you know, has sympathy for me and pity for me, to act like the whole world owes me something because I'm going through something sorrowful. Well, that's not the way of Christ. And the people that Peter was specifically writing to, they had some real sorrows. They were Christians in a world that was pretty hostile to them. And so what were they going to do when people started making fun of them, when people started hating them, persecuting them, putting them in prison, killing them? What would they do? How should they live? And basically, Peter's advice is this: be honorable. Be honorable. We must be examples of Christ, even in our sorrows, of showing honor and doing good. He says, when others see how you live, even during those hardest times, they will see your good deeds and glorify God for it. This is really important for all of us. And if you want to put it a little more bluntly, when you go through a hard or sad time, it's not an excuse for you to do evil. It's just not. It's not an excuse for us to throw a big pity party. We are to be honorable and do good. And in fact, Peter says, when you do good in those times, you will put to silence, he says, the ignorance of foolish people. I think we have all had times where we have not known what to say or do with someone who is ignorant. And by ignorant, I don't mean like in an insulting way, ignorant as in they don't know what they're talking about. And we've not, well, what does Peter say to do in that case? He says, just do good. Just do good. You know, how can anyone argue with good and honorable conduct? There is no argument against that. So we as Christians, we simply ask, what do others see when I am going through sorrow? Do they see me continuing to do good? Do they see me showing honor to everyone? Do they see the joy that I have in Christ my Savior? Do they see me waiting for the Lord, trusting Him, knowing that this sorrow is only a little while? So that's your third point. In sorrow, we continue to do good, to keep our conduct honorable, and to live as Christ our Savior. So finally, I would remind you, all the sorrow that you and I must go through, Jesus has already faced all of it. He's faced the sorrow of our sin, and He's faced the sadness of our death. And it was only for a little while. So He waited for the Lord, He trusted the Lord, He kept His conduct honorable, and now He has risen to bring us His joy. So in our sorrows, we have Christ. We know it's only a little while. We wait for the Lord and renew our strength, and we keep our conduct honorable so that others will see the joy that we have in Christ. And finally, then, here's the promise of Jesus that you have. No one, He says, will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you. That's quite a promise. Not the devil, not death, not any sorrow or sadness, not any suffering, not any government or any other powers, nothing in all creation will take your joy, the joy of Christ, from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.